Thank you, Ms. Orenberg. That was a blessing, certainly appropriate for our missions conference. Pastor Taylor asked me if I would bring the message this morning, being as I'm the missions pastor responsible for the missions program of our church. And so I want you to turn in your Bible, if you would, to 1 Chronicles chapter number 22. 1 Chronicles chapter number 22. I have verses printed out because they're in larger print than my Bible. And so I didn't bring my Bible to the pulpit, but I'm using the verses, okay? So I have them on my phone and on an iPad, and say, well, you could get larger print. Well, I need larger print for everything, so I just do it that way. Let's go ahead and read 1 Chronicles chapter number 22, 1 Chronicles chapter number 22, and we'll begin in verse number 9. Let me just preface this by saying, in this passage of Scripture, we see preface to and the beginning of the account of the building of the temple that was done by Solomon. So this is something in God giving instruction, and King David giving instruction and telling about the building of the temple. And so we understand that this is done in the way that God wanted it done, and he gave his instructions. But I want us to understand, as we read this, we're going to apply this to missions. And this is something God wants done. Not the building of a physical temple, but the giving out of the gospel so that there's churches started. By the way, a church is not the building, it's the people in the building. And it's the souls of men that are the important thing. God has a plan for that, and we want to make a connection. So let's read here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 22, beginning in verse number 9. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, the Lord tells David, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. So we see in this passage of Scripture that then David speaks to Solomon about it. Verse 12, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of a good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. Now behold, in my trouble I prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000 talents of silver. That's 1,000,000 talents of silver. And of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass and iron, there is no number. In other words, you can't even count. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you, and hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart, verse 19 says, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that's to be built to the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we do pray you'd speak to our hearts from your word. Challenge and encourage us. We do pray if someone is here that does not know Christ as Savior, and only you know that for sure, what is in their heart, we pray that they would come to you and receive Christ as their Savior. Pray your blessings. Help us. We look forward to our missions conference, and help us to look to you about what part you would have us to have. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is that we have the resources to do the job God wants done. We have the resources to do the job God wants done. The story is told of a man on vacation who was strolling along outside his hotel in Acapulco, enjoying the sunny Mexican weather. Suddenly he was attracted by the screams of a woman kneeling in front of a child. The man knew enough Spanish to determine that the boy had swallowed a coin. Seizing the child by the heels, he held him up, gave him a few shakes, and an American quarter dropped to the sidewalk. "Oh, thank you, sir," cried the woman. "You seem to know just how to get it out of him. Are you a doctor?" "No, ma'am. I'm with the United States Internal Revenue Service." They know how to get it out of us, don't they? But what we're looking for is that the Lord will let us know, hey, you've got the resources. You've already got the resources to do what needs done, you see. And we see in this passage of Scripture, Solomon was to build a house for the Lord. We're to build churches, and that means groups of people who've been born again. That's what a church is, a called out assembly of people who've received Christ. The physical building is important, thank God, for a place to come and worship, but really a church just houses the church. The church building just houses the church, which is the people. The people inside are the most important thing. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 say this, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22 says, Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. There it is, the household of God. We, people. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is the people, collectively together, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We see in this passage of Scripture, and we'll continue to talk about this fact, that we have what we need. God has what we need to do the job that he wants done. We have it. Okay? There's, first of all, unlimited mental ability. 1 Chronicles 22, verse number 12. Now David says to his son Solomon, Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Give you wisdom and understanding. God will help us to know what to do if we seek him. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5 also tells us, verse 12 through 14, Hebrews chapter 5, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of their use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see, mature Christianity moves past what God has done for us into what we should do for Him and consequently for others. Unlimited mental ability. We have, the Bible gives us everything we need to know about getting the gospel to the world. Secondly, unlimited might. 1 Chronicles 22, verse number 13 says, "Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed." Unlimited might. Alex de Tocqueville in the 1800s said about our country, "America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." My friend, I'm afraid we're in that downward spiral. Thirdly, unlimited money and materials. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 14 and verse number 16. David, he's not the one building the house. He's just saying, "I'm already made preparations for this." Verse 14, "Now behold, in my trouble..." See, he had to battle his way to the position he was in. "I've prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000 talents of silver and brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto." Also, verse number 16, "Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there's no number. You've got enough. You can't even count everything that you've got. There's no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee." Unlimited. Now, I did some math on this, and the best I can understand, a talent of gold in the early 1900s, when a Bible dictionary, and of course there's room for argument on exact things about this, but a Bible dictionary written in the early 1900s said a talent of gold was worth $26,280. Okay? At that price, 100,000 talents would be $26,280,000. That was in the early 1900s. Now, here's a little lesson about gold. Used to be America was on the gold standard. Then we went off of it, and you're going to see in a minute what the result of that was. In 1934, gold was $35 an ounce. In 1973, almost 40 years later, it was only $45.22 an ounce. Today, and this mainly shows us that our money is worth nothing, because gold is gold, and it used to be the standard. Today, it is $1,887 per ounce, 50 times higher than it was back in those days. Say, "I've got some gold. Look at what it's worth." No, your money's not worth anything. Yeah, you better hang on to the gold, because the money's, it just keeps going up usually. Okay? So, in today's prices, the amount of gold that David said he had acquired would be worth $1,314,000,000,000. That's about what they're trying to pass through for the highway bill, isn't it? We better move on here, okay? The million talents of silver. 1934 silver, 1 million talents, was $1,642,000. A talent of silver, 1934, was $1,642. So, $1 billion, back in 1934, $1,642,000. Today, silver, was $10 an ounce back in those days. Now it's $24 an ounce, so it's only 2.5 times what it was then. But still, that's 3,094,800,000 in today's money. David said, you got enough. You've got enough. Charitable giving in the United States in 2007, I'm talking about charitable giving. Charitable giving largely is, unless you're super rich, you use charitable giving to hide your money, so you know that type of thing. I'm thinking it's probably not applying to any of us here today, but largely it's charitable giving is you give because you don't have to have that money. Now, in tithing and offering, though, we understand, I'm not talking about Christian giving, where it is something the Lord says you should do. I'm just talking about, largely speaking, what we give to charity is, I don't have to have this, okay? I'm giving it. In other words, I can live without this. Charitable giving in 2007 topped $300 billion. In 2019, it was slightly under $450 billion. In 2020, the charitable giving in the United States of America was $471 billion. That's interesting to me because last week, Pastor Taylor told about sports and the sports marketplace is worth worldwide that exact amount. $471 billion are spent just on sports. That's not the United States. I believe it was $150 billion in our country. $150 billion just in our country. But in the United States of America, by the way, that's a positive thing to me to say that even though we blow all that money, and I appreciate what he had to say. I enjoy watching sports. I did not enjoy watching my West Virginia team get beat by Texas Tech yesterday, who lost 70-35 to Texas. I said to my cousin, doesn't look very good for the Big 12 for us, does it? I didn't enjoy that. But I enjoyed some sports and those kind of things, and the emphasis was that don't make it into something that shouldn't be in your life, into a god. But you see, I mean, a country that's spending $150 billion on sports is still giving about over three times that to charitable giving. We've got enough, folks. We got enough. George Mueller Foundation, many years ago, the story is told of God's perfect timing and the provision of guidance and resources. The foundation had been requested to commence a new child care project, which would require great commitment and time and resources. George Mueller prayed in millions of dollars over the years. The trustees decided they couldn't go ahead unless they received clear direction from the Lord. And so they committed the need to God in prayer. The day came for a decision to be made, but no definite leading had been received. Then, on the day of their meeting, a substantial sum was received from a donor earmarked for such a project. And what was more remarkable was that the gift had been designated over 20 years before. But because of legal problems over the estate, it had just become available. We got enough. We've got enough. Research of Sylvia Ronsvall in the Salt of the Earth magazine, July of August 1997, said this: if you want to know what we learned in 25 words or less, giving is down because we don't love God as much as we love a lot of other stuff. We've got what we need. We've got what we need. Let's move on. Let's talk about, we talk about the materials. We've got what we need. How about the manpower? 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 15. He said, moreover, there are workmen with thee. What's the next words? In abundance. We got more than enough people. He said, we got plenty of those people waiting in line. He said, workmen in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Verse 17 also through 19. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? Hath he not given you rest on every side? For hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build. You've got enough. You got enough manpower, and you got enough money. Got enough. It said that Charles Haddon Spurgeon was invited by a wealthy man to come down and preach in a country church in order to help them raise funds to pay a debt. The man told Spurgeon, now while you're here, you're free to use my country house, my townhouse, or my seaside home to stay in. Spurgeon wrote back and declined and said, sell one of your homes and pay the debt yourself. We got enough. David's generation gave. Now he wants Solomon's generation to add to it. Verse number 13 says that all that silver and brass and iron without weight, it's in abundance. Timber also and stone I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. About the manpower. God wants us to evangelize. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The early church got the gospel to the whole world because everyone got involved. Acts chapter 8, verse 4, telling of what happened in Jerusalem, said, after the persecution, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature, he said, was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. May I say to you that the population of the world at that time is estimated to have been 250 million people. Population of the world today is about 7.9 billion people. Let's just look at some numbers. We're going to wind this down. There are approximately 3,000, it's hard to put your exact numbers on that, but about 3,000 missionaries of independent Baptist groups around the world today. Did you know of all types of missionaries around the world in the 1950s, there were 100,000 missionaries. But we're talking about people that believe like we do about getting the gospel and what the gospel is. So we're talking about people who are for sure telling the truth instead of giving somebody something that teaching them to pray to a God that cannot save, like Isaiah chapter 45 talks about. Okay? At $50,000 a year to support those missionaries, that's just a number. There are missionaries that because of places they're in, the standard of living is such, they might not need quite as much. There are some who would need more than that because of where they live, but that's just a round figure. That's $150 million a year. Thank God for those that are supporting them. But we got the manpower. You say the 3,000? No. Did you know, if you start with one soul that's saved today, and they win one soul a month to Christ, and each person that they win subsequently becomes a soul winner and wins a soul once a month to Christ, do the math yourself. In about 4 years, the entire population of the world would be saved. Now, granted, the last month, half the world's winning the other half to the Lord. But the problem is not the manpower. You say, man, I don't know if I can win one a month. Okay, how about one a year? Did you know in your lifetime of 40 years, just one a year, the entire population of the world would be saved. Now, understand, folks, not everybody you give the gospel to is going to get saved. And we understand all that and many other ramifications of that. But the point is, there's nothing wrong with God's plan, and we've got the manpower. There's already millions of Christians in America, not even counting the ones around the world, that are truly born again. Let's put those two things together. Out of that $471 billion that is given in the United States only to charitable giving, let's knock off $171 billion of it for whatever nice good causes there are. And I'm not going to get into that because I'm running out of time, and you'd just get mad if I brought some of them up about what we're wasting our money. Let's just hang in there with $300 billion that we have left. Multiply that times $50,000. I did the math. I had to go over all them zeros. How many missionaries that would send? 6 million missionaries. If 6 million missionaries were launched onto the world, they would only have to reach 1,333 people with the gospel, and everybody would have been told. We got the money, and we got the man. Where's the manpower? There's way more than 6 million Christians in America. If those 3,000 of people we know that are giving the true gospel, and there's people that aren't in our group that are giving out the true gospel. We understand that a lot of them. Some people don't even know what the true gospel is, but we're talking about people who understand that. Okay? 6 million. But the 3,000 that are currently out there of people that believe like us about getting the gospel out. Of those 3,000, they would have to reach 2,666,000 people apiece. There it is, folks. I'm just giving it to you in facts and figures. We have enough manpower to do the job, and we have the money it would require if we would decide get interested in what God is the most interested in. The Lord Jesus himself said, the Son of Man has come. Why did you come? To seek and to save that which is lost. I'm for good causes. I'm happy when somebody does something for somebody. But I'm just saying, we've got what we need. Let's figure out a way to plug it in and accomplish God's plan of getting the gospel to the world and getting people saved. Let me ask you to bow your head. Heads are bowed. Let me ask this simply. First of all, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If something were to happen to you today and you were to die, do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? You can know that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can know that. Wonder while heads are bowed if someone might say, "Preacher, I do not know for sure if I know Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me about that?" I'm talking just in a general way. I wouldn't point you out or single you out. But pray for me. I do not know for sure whether or not I know Christ as my Savior. Would you just slip your hand up big and high? Take it right back down. I do not know for sure whether or not I know Christ as my Savior. Is there one? Is there one? Maybe God's spoken to your heart about this matter of missions. You just ask the Lord what He wants you to do this year, and we'll be all right as a church to do what God wants us to do, whatever it is. We're going to extend the invitation. Let me ask you to stand to your feet with a head bowed, and I'm going to pray a quick prayer, then I'll turn the invitation over to Pastor Taylor. If you need to make a public decision for salvation, baptism, or church membership, you can see him. Maybe you just need to come to the altar, do some business with God, whatever it is. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We didn't see anybody indicate they didn't know you as their Savior, but maybe someone just was unwilling to say that, and we would certainly understand that. But Father, I pray if someone is here that doesn't know Christ as Savior, they'd be willing to get it settled. They would come forward to the pastor who can put somebody with them to show them how to receive Christ as their Savior. Bless the time we've had together and help us this week as we consider our missions conference and be with those that will be traveling. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.